Okay. Okay.
Well, no, I think we can be. I think David Lynch.
David Lynch would appreciate it.
I think he would. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hop-Ons podcast. I can do it again.
No, I'm ready. Go ahead.
No, it's yeah.
Let it fucking rip.
A podcast.
Yeah.
Hosted by him, John, and me, Colin. Yeah.
How's it going, everyone out there? I keep looking at my giant hair. Look at the wings I have currently. I look so, the more, every day that I grow, look at how, I look more and more crazy. I'm not going for any certain particular look. I just keep looking like sort of a disheveled, insane person.
I mean, they look like the sorts of, like, attachments one would put on a car when they were 19. You have, like, wings or
something. Yeah, I have wings happening. Yeah. Anyway, Colin, we're not here to talk about my insane hair. We're here to discuss the passing of one David Lynch, auteur, filmmaker, who has sort of been a part of the weird trajectory of our podcast and of my life for a long time. And he just passed away, and we thought we'd say a few words about him. Yeah, that's it. That's what you're going to see the title and know what we're talking about. So,
yeah, we did this with Jessica Walter when she died a couple of years ago.
Carl Weathers. We did it with Carl Weathers.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're not in the practice of doing this with everyone, but those two were pretty important to us as, you know, people and podcasters considering our history. And I agree, David Lynch is really important. John, first question, what was the first, we probably talked about this when we did Twin Peaks. Do you recall the first David Lynch film you saw?
Yeah, it was Mulholland Drive. I saw it.
Me too, yeah.
I saw it. Our theater in Abingdon, the Abingdon Cinema, used to do this thing called Arts Array, where they would have, like, independent films come through, and that was there the year it came out. 01, maybe? Is that when Mulholland Drive 01. Came out?
I think that's right, yeah.
So I was, like, quite young in my, like, movie-loving career. You know, I was trying to be an elitist snob back then, so I had to go to all the Arts Arrays. So I saw Mulholland Drive, and I think I hated it the first time I saw it. Now I adore it. Now it's one of my favorite movies, probably, but back then I hated it so much. I hated it a lot. Yeah.
Well, I think, for someone who's uninitiated, and even for people who really like Lynch, I think that's a customary response, because there is something at times a bit impenetrable about his work. But mine's Mulholland Drive, too. I've actually watched it multiple times. It's funny, thinking about that as an Arts Array, knowing the demographics of people who go to those movies, a lot of them are older people. I have this distinct memory of Naomi Watts masturbating on a couch, and I would have loved to have been in the theater to see those people react to that, because I'm sure it was an interesting moment.
Yeah, I saw E2 Mama Tombi in there, and there's a scene in that movie where two gentlemen masturbate on diving boards next to each other, surrounded by old folks, and it was just, I found immense joy in it. But anyways, for me, like, the Lynch love really came with Wild at Heart, which was a film that I picked up randomly on DVD. I think I was at Mr. K's and they had it, and I bought it, and just fell in love with it. I was like, this is so wild. You know, Cage is up, but they've turned the dial to 14 on him, and Willem Dafoe's in it, and he's insane. And Willem Dafoe plays a Mexican gentleman, which that hasn't aged super well, but everything else in the movie is really great, and I loved it. And, you know, I think all my friends in my circle were really big into Twin Peaks before I was, and then, you know, doing the show with you, that really, we explored a lot of his work. Some I still haven't seen, but a lot of it I have taken in, and I've grown to love him a lot as a filmmaker.
Yeah, and I think Twin Peaks is probably the property where you and I have the most familiarity. And I think for me, like, it's interesting because, you know, John mentioned Arts Array. It's this film festival in this small Appalachian town. And it, to its credit, it tries to bring films that one may not see in this region to this region. But I think what it does is it perpetuates this idea that, like, film festival films are incredibly self-serious, and cannot be like silliness to them. There cannot be whimsy to them. This is something, and I think you see this in a lot of Lynch's work, but probably most visible in Twin Peaks, is this idea that a well-made film, a kind of film that you and I would like, that has interesting and dynamic and challenging and thought-provoking cinematography, can also have like moments of absurdity and whimsy. It can be funny. It can be weird. It can be impenetrable in ways that are thought-provoking without being pretentious. That's when I think about David Lynch and why I like him so much. I think, sure, like, I would choose a David Lynch film for an Arts Array festival, but I don't think it's easy to just shunt him into that oversimplified ethos of what you get when you often think of those kinds of films. Because again, there's a kind of humor and a kind of whimsy and a silliness to his films. And I think that's what I've always enjoyed about his movies, is how he's able to bring those sensibilities to movies or, you know, TV shows like Twin Peaks that also explore occult, spiritual, supernatural ideas. He's just able to, it seems, bring so many different ideas and considerations to his work. And I think that's something that you don't often find with maybe a lot of filmmakers.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And completely. I think that's really well said. I think also for me, he is one of like the last true voices of making film and art. I haven't listened to his records or anything along those lines, but his movies are so, they're so like purely him. Like they're just unabashedly, I mean, like Lynchian. Like he, you know, he got his own verb from how crazy his stuff is and how well made it is. And I think people will try forever to mimic that and recreate it, and they just won't get it because they're the limits that he would. The limits that he would push in his films, and I don't mean like content-wise, I mean like directing-wise and the way he would set up shots. We talked a lot about Inland Empire. We did a whole episode about it. And, you know, I think when I watched that early on, before I'd ever really dove into his work, I hated that movie. But then afterwards, you know, I found it to be so interesting and so fun to talk about and so rewatchable, a movie that you could put on and just really sink your teeth into, and no other director can do it like him, will ever do it like him with that type of work. And I think there's a lot of directors, especially like in the A24 realm, like they're trying to make movies that are, you know, have this like unsettling, surreal vibe to them. And while some of them may be very quite good and quite fun to look at, they just won't, they won't hit what he could do. And it's just so, it's amazing that we got to live the same time he did, you know, and make the work that he did.
Yeah. Love Lies Bleeding feels a bit like this.
Oh,
like
for sure. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that movie. I thought it was a lovely film, and I like Kristen Stewart a lot. I think she's maybe the best or one of the best actors working right now. I think she makes the kinds of weird decisions that would make her perfect for a Lynch film. It's almost regrettable that she wasn't in a Lynch film at some point.
I agree completely, yeah.
There's something about her choices that feel Lynchian to me. But that movie, it's clear what they're trying to do, but it almost feels like a facsimile of David Lynch without actually getting there. And it's interesting because even something like Inland Empire, I think you and I spoke about this. This is one of the first movies that went digital, I guess, if you wanted to use that kind of terminology.
Sure.
Maybe not the first one, but David Lynch was on the vanguard of what is now, at least as I understand it, the way that people make movies. I'm sure there's some people who still use actual film, but everyone shoots digital now, at least they have for the better part of 20 years, it seems. And if I recall correctly, Lynch was on the vanguard of this. And just as you said, there's something about someone who also seems so omnivorous, which is to say, he he will just consume everything and produce everything in some way. He's not someone who just made film. He made television. His weather reports on YouTube, like, this is a guy who, like,
so good.
He was one of those early internet adopters, like, putting content on the internet. Like, when you think about TikTok, for example, and this idea of, like, short form, easily digestible internet content, he was doing those weather reports. I mean, a lot of them are still available online, but he was doing this long before 2020. So even just like the way he would produce things. And again, if you haven't watched those weather reports, go and watch them because they feel distinctly Lynchian. They're so weird and delightful. But I think something you see in those weather reports that I think you see in a lot of his work as well is he's so earnest and like there's nothing, it seems like, ironic or detached about this guy,
yeah.
Even though you would expect someone who has that kind of ethos to be ironic and detached, he's really not. There's something, I go to this basically coffee shop diner where I live sometimes just to get coffee, and I'll talk to some of the employees, and I remember a few weeks ago before Lynch died, I was just talking to one of them because I had on this Mulholland Drive t-shirt that I have, and we were talking about David Lynch, and I saw her yesterday as we're recording this, and excuse me, as we're recording this, and she said, I thought of you because I heard that David Lynch died, and I said, yeah, that's why I'm here to get a cup of coffee, because there's nothing more restorative than a good cup of coffee. And like, Lynch seems to believe this. Like, you see this shit in his movies, and I don't think he's being just goofy and ironic. I think he genuinely believes this stuff, where, and again, that is a level of earnest that I don't think you see from a lot of filmmakers of his ilk, where it's fashionable to be ironic and detached, and no one really seems to know how to be earnest. But especially when I watch Twin Peaks, I have this sense that he seems to have a foundational set of beliefs, and he tries not to be ironic and detached about it. And
right.
I appreciate that willingness to be earnest at a time when it's really hard to be earnest, it seems.
Yeah, I love that about him. I've been getting big into John Waters' filmography lately, and they were pretty tight in that like sort of indie film scene. And John Waters has been quoted as saying something along the lines of like, now when people make a B movie, critics are constantly looking for the deeper meaning behind it. And you can't just make a movie to make a movie. Sometimes you want to make trash. Sometimes you want to make weird things just to make them. And I think David Lynch like has always firmly set in that category of he just makes things that he thinks will be thought-provoking, things that he wants to see on screen that are just so quintessentially him. And I don't think many people are doing it anymore. So I'm happy that he was a voice that a lot of people desperately needed. You know, after he passed away, my Instagram feed was just full of people that I didn't even know that would like were in like the cinema realm talking about how much they miss David Lynch. Yeah. And I mean, that's huge. That's a big deal.
No, I think that's a really nice point, this idea, because something I think you get from people who just like to make movies is they're not often that interested in the overarching quality of the piece. I mean, I want to be clear what I mean by that. I don't think anyone wants to make garbage, but I think sometimes people just like to make stuff, you know, like you and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
We just really like doing this podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm certain while we have wonderful listeners who are very, very kind, I know there are good episodes, great episodes, average episodes, probably some stinkers. You know, it's the Kelsey Grammer principle. I won't repeat it again. And when I think about people who just like making movies, in particular, independent-minded filmmakers, people who perhaps either haven't been successful at securing funding or simply don't want funding, they just seem down to make shit. And Lynch has always felt like that. I think that's a really cool point, this idea that like quality isn't as important as just making a thing. Because I know like a point where you and I diverge, I don't know if What Did Jack Do is a good movie. But I love that movie so much. It's just a weird thing where David Lynch talks to a monkey for 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's very, very weird. And I don't know, like, that feels like just a thing someone wanted to make. Is it good? I don't know. But I'm going to make it and see what happens. And that's, again, like that kind of fearlessness. And I guess, like, sure, if you're David Lynch and you've been as successful as he is, maybe you can be fearless. But it kind of feels like he's just always kind of been weird and fearless like that. And that's hard, but I admire that. I don't think I have that.
No, I couldn't do that. I wish I could. Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. You put a great quote up about him on your feed that, you know, he talked about how he was quoted as saying, like, after someone makes a film, everyone wants to talk about the film, and he's like, just watch the movie. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's what I want to say. I made the movie. Just watch the movie. And I think that's just so. That's just perfect, man. That's great. I think we're in, like, such a weird realm now of press junkets and constant, like, getting barraged by social media all the time with all these things. And David Lynch was just someone who would make a movie, and that was it. He's like, I made a movie. If you want to see it, go see it. If not, whatever, but that's a movie I made.
Well, no, that's, yes, fantastic. And the reason why I think I like that quote so much is because it articulates what I have few fundamental principles, but as far as art is concerned, like, one of my fundamental principles is the art object often exceeds the intentions of the artist, which is to say, like, I've said this before, if you want really dope Harry Potter takes, don't go to JKR, go read fanfic, because they get it better than she does. Lynch, at least the way he would talk about his work, when he would talk about his work, which was rare, if ever, he always struck me as someone who got that. That, like, I don't. What do I know? Like, what does the ring mean? I don't know. You tell me. Like he seemed like someone who understood that. And that seems like to have that perspective. It seems to just be something that a lot of creative folk, maybe for understandable reasons, don't have. That ability just to say, I don't know, I just made the thing. You tell me what the thing says. Which is not the same as, like, everyone's opinion matters equally, and, like, this is for you, not for him. Like, no, it's not about all of that nonsense. It's just destabilizing this sense that the person who made the thing is the ultimate authority. He seemed to really understand that just because he made it, that doesn't mean he was the authority. And that's fundamental principle for me, at least. Yeah.
We'll leave it. This is my favorite quote, and I'll leave it on this. Mel Brooks was a producer on The Elephant Man, and they asked him, what is David Lynch like? And The Elephant Man was like David Lynch's first big to do. He, like, won an Oscar, nominated for an Oscar. It was a big deal. And so Mel Brooks produced it, and they said, what's David Lynch like? And he said, imagine if Jimmy Stewart came from Mars. And I thought, what a great way to describe a man. And I love that. That's my description in my brain of David Lynch.
What if Jimmy Stewart came from Mars? No, that's... Yeah, I think that's perfect. John, one other thing I was thinking about, I don't know if you recall this, but back when we did Twin Peaks, this was pre-pandemic, you and I would write scripts for fake sponsors.
Yes.
Do you remember MailChimp two words?
I don't remember MailChimp two words.
Okay. You know what MailChimp is, right?
Yeah,
you
I'm familiar. This. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay. I believe what we wrote was MailChimp two words was a service that shipped, like, monkeys, gorillas, and orangutans to use in any way you needed. And I believe at one point you and I decided that David Lynch, like, that's how he secured the monkey for Monkey Jack Do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did this weird thing where I did an impression of Lynch, leaving a positive review.
Oh my God, I remember, you're right.
But you made this great note, which was like, pretend like he can't hear the person on the other end of the phone.
Oh man.
And then maybe he's not, like, he's rushing, so he thinks it's something like MailChimp tomb worms.
I think. Oh, you're right. Yeah.
If I can find that, I'll put it at the end of this episode because I think it's one of my favorite fake sponsors that we did. And you can hear this, like, because we recorded this in my house.
Yeah, yeah.
When we did the David Lynch part, if you listen carefully, a listener can hear you chuckling in the background.
Of course. Of course they can.
It's faint, but it's there. So yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, yeah. MailChimp Tomb Worms. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, yeah. I'm glad his work made our podcast. I think our podcast grew exceptionally when we started doing Twin Peaks. People really jumped on board with that. And yeah, I'm glad that we got more listeners from it. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lynch, for all the cool shit you did.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think there are some gaps that you and I need to fill, like Straight Story. Still haven't seen Straight Story.
Haven't seen Lost Highway. I've never seen Lost Highway.
Yeah. Yeah, we should do that. I think a listener wanted us to do that. Well, okay, John, we have another one. So this is, people will be terrified that we're coming back or excited that we're coming back. No, this just happened, but we have another episode coming soon. So 2024 movies in review. So look for that.
Okay, bye.
John, we're excited to welcome a new sponsor for this week, MailChimp. Two words, a direct order service that mails chimpanzees, monkeys, and gorillas directly to your door in old HelloFresh boxes.
PETA patent pending, MailChimp, two words, is perfect for 8chan incels searching for companionship or those in the entertainment industry. Hear from satisfied customer David Lynch, who recently used MailChimp, two words, for his Netflix short, What Did Jack Do?
Yes, David Lynch here. I absolutely love MailChimp Tomb Worms. They're right on the money. What? It's David Lynch.
Get started today with MailChimp, two words. MailChimp, two words. They're not monkeying around.